It's 434 downtown, live at Seasons Main Street, Bangor. Our Quality Jewelers broadcast studios, Rich Kimball, Brian Stackpole, and Bruce Pratt joining us for Sports Lit 101. And Bruce, boy, you've been excited to talk about this book for a couple of weeks. Tell us about Playing with Tigers.
Well, so what's really interesting is that when I saw this on the list of new sports books coming out, I almost didn't check it off. Because, you know, I don't want to, as we've said, we don't want to talk about books and disparage them. If we read a book we don't like, we're not going to talk about it. Or, I didn't want to get free books if I didn't think the listeners would be interested. If you read one sports book in the next 6 months, pick up Playing with Tigers. Now, it's called A Minor League Chronicle of the 60s by George Gamelch. George Gamelch, the author, is currently a professor of anthropology at University of San Francisco and at Union College over in Schenectady, New York, and his wife is also an anthropologist. He's obviously a very bright man. He was a minor league baseball player in the Tigers system in the early 60s when football had really begun its conquering of baseball. He played a lot of that time in the Jim Crow South. He's an interesting cat. He's from San Mateo, California, grew up in an all-white suburb, really, as he said, just grew up sort of as that Eisenhower kid, didn't really have a very expanded horizons. But once he played in places like Duluth and Daytona Beach and especially Rocky Mount, North Carolina, he began to change as the country began to change. And this book follows not only minor league baseball in the 60s, and you will meet Jim Leland was one of his buddies when he played. He stayed in touch with him for years. Lots of guys that went on to be very famous baseball players, guys that had cups of coffee, guys that never made it. But what it really does is it chronicles the way America changed and baseball changed at the same time. He's running concurrent to the escalation of the war in Vietnam, to the assassinations of Martin Luther King Jr. and Robert Kennedy, all the turmoil that's associated with that, all the turmoil in sports that's associated with that. But he also tells his own personal story, and it is incredibly well written. This is as funny as Slapshot or Bull Durham, or anything, and it is as deep and as probing as any sports book I've ever read. The great thing about it is at no point does this ever turn into a college professor's book? If I didn't know this guy was an anthropologist, I'd think, well, I wonder what he did. And he keeps in touch. Well, he actually doesn't during a long time, but he puts you in touch at the end with what happened to all of the major players that he played with coming up. And you will run into him talking. He had Al Kaline's hand-me-down pants, and he got to meet Al Kaline. He played with Lenny Boyer, who wasn't Cleeton and wasn't Ken, but was a brother. He played with all kinds of really Larry Carlton, who we know from from ESPN and from other announcing.
And of course, Bruce, this was a time too, and even major league players had to have a job in the offseason, and minor league players were absolutely playing for nothing but the love
exactly.
of the game.
Exactly. Four guys sharing two rooms in somebody's house without air conditioning on the second floor in North Carolina. They would pool their money and buy a $100 car for the season. Five guys would own the car. And the real good deal was if you could meet a local girl who had a car and would give you a ride home, because then you didn't have to sit crunched in the seat. When he played in upstate New York in Jamestown, they traveled in three station wagons, 15 players in three station wagons, no seat belts.
Of course not.
They got $3 a day for meals, and they were all interesting. Remember Woody Freiman, the great
pitcher? I sure do, yeah.
Right? Great story about Woody Freiman. His dad gave him, or his uncle or so, I forget who, gave him a tobacco farm. He didn't want to play baseball because he thought, it might not work out as well as tobacco farming. So they had to literally woo him to play. He played for 18 years. He did really well. And they were playing for teams named after tobacco. Like they were the Winston-Salem Tobacconists, the Rocky Mount Leafs, not to do with the Maple Leafs. But it's a really interesting look at just how exploited a lot of minor league baseball players were. One of the stories in here is of a guy that was seduced into playing in the minors, being told he was a prospect when they really knew he wasn't. And he lost his college scholarship. And so he obviously couldn't go back to college on a free ride. George himself was going to Stanford and UC Santa Barbara while he was playing baseball. But you're right. The guys would go home. They were a phys ed teacher in the offseason. They were a salesman in the offseason. They did other things. There were so many more minor leagues then than there are now. But it just I found myself just being stunned to remember how some of these events came together. One interesting story, between 1962 and 1973, Hollywood made how many baseball movies?
Between 62 and 73, none.
None. No baseball movies. What was the baseball movie that broke that trend?
Bang the Drum Slowly
with Michael Moriarty and Robert De Niro, right? And as he points out, not a comedy.
Oh, God,
right?
No.
That's a heart. That's a
player's dying of cancer.
Oh, yeah. And one of my favorite baseball movies. But he's talking about how baseball was really in the dead zone then.
Mm-hmm.
We love to curse the steroid era and all this and that. And, you know, we want to maybe overplay Cal Ripken a little bit. But this playing with Tigers is about playing when baseball wasn't that good a thing, but about people who just grew up when that was the only game. That's what you love to play. And I'm old enough to remember the sort of 1958, the Giants and the Colts. That's when football really begins to take over for baseball. But it's a really great book, Playing with Tigers, George Gmelch, and it's spelled G-M-E-L-C-H. Brand new from University of Nebraska Press. Really a terrific book. I couldn't recommend a book more.
Outstanding. Thank you, Bruce.
My pleasure.
Hey, it's 4:41 here on Downtown. We're presented by Gagan's Pub and Craft Brewery in Bangor.